Sound advice to keep your body and mind in perfect harmony. You're tuned in to the Dr. Steven Show. Now, here is Dr. Steven Eisenberg.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Steven Show. I'm so glad that you joined us today. And what a day it's going to be. We have with us the Chief Inspiration Officer of Integrative Cancer Answers. This is a subject that is so dear to my heart. I'm an integrative oncologist. I am absolutely in love with our guest today, Dr. Nalini Chilkov, the founder of Integrative Cancer Answers. She's a doctor of Chinese medicine. She is a world-renowned expert in integrative cancer care. She breaks it down. She makes your body inhabitable to cancer. So she is going to teach us how to get inside the body and make an environment where cancer cannot thrive. And we're doing this all live right here, right now. Come back. Dr. Nalini Chilkov is with us, and I'm so excited. We'll see you in a minute. Bye. I'll see you. And we are back. Thanks for coming, everybody, to the Dr. Steven Show. And I want to welcome my wonderful, beautiful, amazing, such a great human being, the one, the only Dr. Nalini. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are like my dream guest. Can I just tell you that? Because I'm, you know, I'm an integrative guy who became an oncologist.
Right.
I didn't have like a big epiphany. I like worked in a health food store during med school. So when I was at an event and they said, you have to meet Dr. Nalini. She is just the best and integrative, the world's guru, basically, on integrative cancer care. I just had to have you on here.
Great.
I'm so happy. And I want to talk about your books, 32 Ways to Outsmart Cancer. And I love how it's creating a body in which cancer cannot thrive, that microenvironment, the milieu. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
Well, the way that I frame it for patients is if you think about the soil in a garden, and if you compost it and put good nutrients in there, then you get really healthy plants and beautiful flowers instead of unhealthy plants subject to disease. So the same thing goes for our body, our internal environment. We want to change the soil. We want to create an environment that's not hospitable to the growth, development, and progression of cancer. Yep. And so that's like an ecological biosystem, if you think of it that way. And it's something you can take control over also.
Yeah, you can make a difference for yourself by doing these practices.
Yes.
So it's a bunch of different phases. It's herbs, it's supplements, it's acupuncture, it's mind body. It's the whole being, correct?
Yes, but I think we also have to start with the simple stuff that anybody could do, right?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
That anybody could do.
Yeah, wait, and that's what you talk about in the Quick Start Guide, right? Outsmart Cancer, the Quick Start Guide, is easy to follow. Powerful cancer-fighting foods, what to eat, what to avoid, food lists, menus, vitamin and herb guide, and energizing protein shakes. I think our friend JJ would like protein shakes, right?
Yes, yes.
But tell us, let's like jump right into it. Give us some do's and don'ts to create the body in which cancer cannot thrive.
Well, this book, The Quick Start Guide, really is a collection of all the questions people ask me all the time.
It's right? Brilliant.
All the time. So I'd rather spend time talking to my patients about what has meaning for them, what they're afraid of, what their hopes and dreams are, what their fears are, and not spend all the time on food lists, right?
Yeah.
So I put together this book. And it's actually downloadable on my site. And
IntegrativeCancerAnswers.com.
Right.
IntegrativeCancerAnswers.com.
So it's easy to get.
Yes.
And it's what should I eat? What should I avoid? Where do I get protein? Give me a shopping list.
Yes.
How do I make a shake? Where do I get protein? So all of those basic things that sometimes, you know, I take for granted, but not everybody knows. And so people say, well, what's the most important thing that you could do with diet? And I always say, eat the rainbow. You want to eat color, right? If you eat color, then you're going to get this wide range of plant chemicals that actually enter the nucleus of the cell, and turn your genes on and off. So it matters what you eat because you could turn on cancer-fighting genes by yes. what you eat.
Yes, and that's the phytonutrients.
That's right.
And they have anti-cancer properties.
Yes.
And I love Eat the Rainbow. It's sort of like Dorothy. Right? Make sure you eat the rainbow.
Oh, he sings too.
Dr. Lee says, 'cause if you eat the rainbow, cancer cannot live, no. Is that pretty good? I don't know.
But we'll take it on the road.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. So, I mean, cancer, I mean, I'm an oncologist and unfortunately I'm busier than you know what. I mean, it's just crazy how much is out there, how many people are affected. So you must be, I mean, it must be like, Dr. Nalini, let me in. I mean, you just have to be, there's so much cancer. Everyone says to me every minute, there's so much cancer out there. I mean, what can we start to do to help prevent it in ourselves? Eat the rainbow.
Diet's huge. It's not, always talk to people about like, what are really the big levers? Because as a patient or a lay person, a non-professional, you know, if you're reading the internet, you're overwhelmed with information. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to discover what applies to me.
Yeah.
That's important. And it's also important to understand you don't have to do everything that's out there. So one of the ways I frame this is if you think of a wheel with many spokes,
mm-hmm.
and each spoke on that wheel is an aspect of cancer physiology and your bioterrain, your soil, that we need to have in place so we have a really comprehensive plan. And as you know, as an oncologist, maybe you hit one or two or three points on that wheel, but then there's the rest of it. And so we have a big toolbox of foods, supplements, herbs, lifestyle changes like sleep and exercise that affect this. And it's really important to feel like you could do something about your own future, about your own outcome, about where you're going, so that you don't feel the oncologist just took over your life and your schedule. And one of the first things I always say to patients is, take a deep breath, relax, because a cancer diagnosis is not an emergency. It's not an urgent care thing. And oncologists will tell patients, well, next week we're going to do your chemo, and then you'll have surgery, and then you'll have radiation, and then we'll do some hormone therapy. And it's like next week. And I always say, you know, the cancer's probably been in your body for a while by the time it was discovered. Take some time, make it your decision, make sure it feels right to you, you're with the right doctor, and that you get your kids covered, your business covered, and that you're ready to start. And that won't really make or break the outcome of your cancer if you wait a few weeks to actually be ready.
It's so true. Yeah. It's so true. Patients get so mad at us because it does take so long. The insurance, just the insurance. So there's always delays. And you're so right. And I say it's a powerful partnership.
Absolutely.
Between doctor, patient, but not just doctor and patient. Doctor, patient, Chinese medicine, Dr. Nalini. It's a whole team approach.
If you have a complex illness, you need a team.
Correct.
And you need to pick the team. And as the patient, you should have the loudest voice on the team, and
so
because
true.
Everybody on that team's working for you. So don't give up your intelligence and your power and your agency when you come in the door. Really keep what's congruent for you. And also really understand what it is that's important to you as a patient so you can communicate that to your doctor. Doctors don't ask what's mm-hmm. important to you, but mm-hmm. actually, that we should all be asking our patients so that we speak to them.
Yeah, the most important skill as a doctor is listening. But I like that question really good. What's the most important thing for you? It may not be getting chemo.
Well, it might be I want more time with my kids.
Yeah.
It might be I want a good quality of life. I don't care how long I live, but I want to feel well. And that should be on the table. That should be in the conversation because oncology is a very disenfranchising specialty to be a patient in.
And what about inflammation?
Well, inflammation is part of the soil, right? It's part of the soil. So cancer cells themselves can generate lots of inflammation. Think of it like lighting a match in a cell. But we might have inflammation in our bodies for other reasons, like maybe we're eating the standard American diet, which is a pro-inflammatory diet.
Yes.
And so by shifting to a diet that has more plants in it, more healthy grass-fed, wild-caught sources of protein that have healthy fats rather than unhealthy fats, so that you actually are eating a diet that dials down inflammation, that stops some of the signaling messages that cause cancer to grow.
Yeah, and there's actually the anti-inflammatory diet.
That's right. That's right.
And I would say that is a very good anti-cancer diet.
Absolutely.
And it's sort of similar in some way to the Mediterranean diet.
Very much so. I was just going to say that, actually, because that's familiar to people.
We're thinking alike.
We're in a mind meld.
Can we just, for everybody out there, what's this anti-inflammatory Mediterranean diet? Can you just sort of, at a high level, just go over it for our viewers who may not know what it is?
It's really pretty simple.
Yeah.
It's really pretty simple. Let's just say what's on the plate, okay?
I like it.
So half the plate should be plants. Lots of color, right?
Eat the rainbow. Half the plate.
Lots of color, lots of vegetables. And because there's so much obesity and diabetes, I like those plants to be mostly ones that grow above the ground, so we have less starch and less insulin-triggering foods in the diet.
Yes.
And then about a quarter of the plate is a healthy source of protein.
Mm.
So if you're vegetarian, that might be beans or tofu, non-GMO.
Yes.
And if you're not vegetarian, it might be a grass-fed beef, but we want to not eat too much red meat, especially if we're concerned about colorectal cancer, which iron is a problem. We want to keep the iron low in the diet.
Yeah.
But you could eat some organic chicken or some wild-caught fish, or you could have a protein shake. So you want a good serving, at least 20 grams, about 4 ounces of protein. That's about the size of your palm.
Mm-hmm.
And then an eighth of the plate is healthy fats and oils, like good olive oil, flax oil, coconut oil, almonds, almond butter, avocados, tahini, things like that.
Yes.
And then the other eighth of the plate, you get a little bit of wiggle room. So you could have a little bit of organic berries or a little piece of super dark chocolate or even a little glass of wine. So
did you
notice there's no grain on the plate?
No sugar, no grain, no dairy.
Right. Right. Now, some people...
Is that like lions and tigers and bears? Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Sugar and grain and dairy. Oh, my.
Yes.
Is that sort of keeping with the Wizard of Ha theme? That's a
shout out. So if you think of your plate, you know, then it's kind of easy. The Mediterranean diet's a lot of colorful plants and healthy sources of protein, nice, healthy fats and oils, olive oil, and... they have some fermented food, and that should be in there, like yogurt, or in Asian foods, there's kimchi, or in Europe, there's sauerkraut.
Yeah.
And so you want to have some source of healthy bacteria, because having a really healthy ecology in your gut is actually part of normal immunity and normal inflammation control.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Probiotics are just amazing. They sort of changed my life. Yeah, I had colitis.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was when I was totally stressed out, and our group had gone through this huge breakup. I was burned out, and my gut was like, ah! So I went super healthy diet and tons of probiotics, and it went away. It went away. So, I mean, I am a believer. I am a believer, Dr. Nalini, because I've gone through it.
Yeah.
I've gone through it.
You know, what's really interesting is the healthy bacteria also have a huge influence on estrogen metabolism and estrogen detoxification and breast cancer risk. Also, the healthy bacteria have a big impact on obesity. So people who are overweight and overfat actually have different bugs in their gut.
Yeah. The whole microbiome.
Yes.
It's like the catchword right now.
Yeah.
Microbiome. And in fact, I was just talking to Dr. Susan Love.
Oh, yes.
Who's fabulous, and she is now studying the microbiome of the breast.
Yes, yes.
Did you hear this?
I know that. So I actually included it in a lecture because I read a paper of hers that said that the breast ducts have their own ecology, right?
Yes.
But I thought, well, how do you affect that, though? Like, how would we be able to influence that?
Yes. And well, this was just last night. She was talking to me and she said, well, first of all, in her humble opinion, men do not see the breast as a functioning organ.
No, and, not in this culture.
Right. And she said, well, okay. I mean, there's the babies and certain lovers do, you know, suckle on the breast. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So not to be smart, but there's bacteria.
Yes.
There's their own microbiome.
Yes.
Now, how do you influence that?
That's my question.
We have to come back and talk about that. When we get back, we're going to talk more about the microbiome. We're going to get into some of the top 10 ways to outsmart cancer with the one and only Dr. Nalini. And we are also going to try to make my body a body in which cancer cannot thrive. Can we do that for the rest of the show? Do you think
Absolutely.
We can achieve that?
Absolutely.
With you, anything's possible. We will be right back after this short break. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you in a few minutes. And we're back with Dr. Nalini Chilkov, the one and only. 32 ways to outsmart cancer. Why is there so much cancer? We hear about toxins. We hear about our American diet. How about the blue zones? They're not getting cancer as much. I mean, is there really something to, just moving to Okinawa and eating fish and just, you know, meditating all day?
I have traveled all over the world. When I was younger, I did a lot of traveling, and I was looking for that utopian perfect place, right?
Ooh,
and then
tell.
I realized that you have to make that wherever you are. And so we should make our own blue zone, right?
Right
and,
here.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Look at all the blue around us. Yeah.
And a blue shirt. Uh-huh. So we have to take control of the environment we are in and the life we're inhabiting. And so really, one like interviewer that. Asked me, so what are the top three reasons there's so much cancer? And I said, environment, environment, environment. Mm. The first thing to do, so we talked about the internal environment. We want to take control of that. So we've talked a little bit about that.
Yeah.
But start in your home. You could walk through every room of your house and take toxic chemicals out of your home environment. And this is even more important for children who are in smaller bodies being exposed to the same amount of toxins. So let's start in the bathroom.
Yeah.
So in the bathroom, you have your toothpaste, your body lotions, your shampoo, your conditioner, and your makeup, and your deodorant.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to start by just choose products that are free of all parabens. This is a chemical. If you start reading labels, it's almost in everything as a preservative. In Europe, many countries have outlawed it because it causes cancer. Mm. And so welcome to America.
Yeah.
We have lobbyists who don't let us make the public more safe, right?
Oh,
so
paradise.
You can walk through each room of your house. You could go out in the garden and get rid of the chemicals that are in the garden and be organic. You could look at your laundry room and use things that are good for the environment, that don't harm the plants and the bacteria in the soil. And don't end up in our sewers and putting chemicals in our oceans. You can look in your kitchen and just take all the packaged food out of your kitchen. That's the easiest way to lower the chemicals you're eating.
Yeah. Or as Natalie Jill says, unprocess your diet.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Like read the, I like how you said not just reading the ingredients of your food, which you should do, but look at the ingredients of the stuff that you're
putting on your body. Yep.
Spraying everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. It's huge. It's
the little
huge.
Scrubbing bubbles, huh? No, not so much.
Right.
No. Now, for everybody out there, where can they go and find better products? Is there, does Dr. Nalini have a favorite, site that you go to?
Well, one of my favorite sites for the consumer is the Environmental Working Group. EWG.org.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of free information there. You can look up almost any product, and they have like a color code from green, meaning it's really safe, to red. And you could look up any product that you're using and see how they rate it. It's a great site.
Okay. Wow.
And they have also, they have a cosmetics database on that site. So if you want to look at the baby lotion you're using on your kids, then you could look that up too.
Mm-hmm. And what about, recipes? I know you have a special, a whole list of recipes that you recommend.
I was a cook, and I love to cook. So I really like to turn people on to eating good food.
Uh-huh.
And so we have almost 400 recipes on our integrativecanceranswers.com website.
Yes.
And they're just all for free because I want you to eat good food and also understand that healthy food can be really gourmet tasty, and it can be really simple and easy and quick to make as well.
And contribute towards a body that in which cancer cannot thrive.
It's the biggest lever. It's absolutely the biggest lever. You can, your kitchen could be your pharmacy. So you could look at your spice rack and start cooking with more turmeric, which is the source of curcumin, which is a plant chemical that interacts with over 100 genes. It's safe. You can use it for your whole life. If that was a drug, it'd be a blockbuster drug.
I love turmeric. I mean, really, I take it every day, and there's a lot of research.
Yes.
Good research.
Yes.
For anti-cancer, anti-inflammation properties.
Yes.
It's a no-brainer.
Yes.
Right?
Well, if you had to pick one thing, I would pick that.
Ooh, but, give us some more, like, must-dos.
Well,
must-see
let's
TV.
Just look at the spice rack for a moment.
Oh.
So ginger's on the spice rack.
Yes.
Oregano, thyme. These all have, these common plants that we cook with have anti-cancer chemicals in them, plant chemicals. And so the more you use spices, also the better your digestion is. But also you're getting these signals, these messages. Food is information, right?
Mm.
And so it's talking to your genes.
That's beautiful. We as oncologists get very scared when people come in with bags full of supplements.
Yeah.
Now, I worked in a health food store, and I make it my business to know every supplement. But in general, we're scared of it, and we say, oh, no, get away. But these are foods. These are foods
Some
you're
of
talking
them are
about.
Foods. Some of them are foods.
Yes.
So I make it a point to build bridges with oncologists.
Yes.
Of relationships.
Yes.
So that an oncologist has someone reliable to say, are these supplements okay or not? Because there are supplements that you can take during
chemotherapy. Let's talk about the cans.
Right?
So let's talk about the can
vitamin
takes.
D you can take during your treatment.
So
vitamin
important.
D is one of the most important vitamins to keep your blood levels up because it keeps cancer from spreading.
Yes,
right?
And everyone's deficient.
Almost everybody is.
It's like an epidemic.
Yeah. So this is what I tell people. Go, well, can't you get vitamin D from the sun? And I say, well, if you ran around on the equator naked, you probably could.
I like that. That's great.
But otherwise, you know, our hands get exposed, maybe your legs, your arms, but it's not enough exposure in modern life to keep our blood levels up. And I just, some recent research, they moved the normal up from 30, one researcher says 75, right?
Wow.
But I say between 55 and 80 is pretty safe.
Okay, so vitamin D, no
vitamin
brainer.
Vitamin D, probiotics.
Oh, no side effects.
We just talked about
Love
that.
Love those.
The Chinese mushrooms. These are really, truly food-like, but these are special kinds of foods. They're, like Ganoderma is reishi mushroom. A lot of people have heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is considered the mushroom of immortality.
Yes.
And it was also used for, supporting meditation practice.
Mm.
And it's said to open up your energy to the spiritual.
Yes.
And so that's important to some people in this journey where you face your mortality.
Huh.
But it's an immune modulator.
Yes.
It also has signaling to insulin, so it helps stabilize blood sugar, normalize blood sugar, and is anti-inflammatory. And also for patients who are going through chemo and their white cells get depressed, it's one of the great ways to keep your white counts up.
Mm.
And therefore your immunity, right?
I have a confession, Dr. Nalini.
What is it?
I take mushrooms every day.
Uh-huh. So do I.
And is there a specific brand that you can recommend? Or, I mean, is there like a type of mushroom? Is there a preparation that you like more than others?
What you want to look for if you're buying mushroom products is cold water processed.
Mm.
Right?
Okay.
Because the water processed preserves some of these immune modulating properties. So the cheaper products aren't. They're just ground up mushrooms.
Yeah.
Right? So you want a water extracted, not an alcohol extracted, because those become different medicines. You will see alcohol extracts of Chinese mushrooms, but the most potent are the water extracted.
Mm.
And so you want to look for that. There are brands that will say that on the label. But you know, you can just add mushrooms to your diet. Even the little button mushrooms that we put in our salads have these properties.
Huh.
And mushrooms.
I'm thinking I have to take pills.
All mushrooms are high in CLA, conjugated linoleic acid.
Yeah.
And this has some anti-tumor activity, anti-inflammatory activity, and insulin, blood sugar regulating activity.
Tonalin. Is that what they, CLA?
CLA is one of the healthy fats.
Yeah.
Is what it is. It's rich in cottage cheese.
Weightlifters take it because it's supposed to like help you burn fat.
It helps you burn fat.
Yeah.
But it helps you burn fat because it lowers your insulin. And insulin is a fat storage signal.
Right? Mm.
Okay. So cabbage family vegetables.
Ooh.
Right? So cabbage family vegetables are full of sulforaphanes. And these are sulfur-containing molecules that actually change every part of the life cycle of a cancer cell. And so these are so powerful. So the most potent in this family are kale and broccoli and broccoli sprouts, right? Those have the most sulforaphanes. But you have to actually lightly steam the broccoli and the kale to really get the benefit out of it. And that's true of tomatoes, too, to get the lycopene out of tomatoes, you have to actually cook them a little bit.
I that's good because I'm not a huge fan of raw broccoli.
Uh-huh.
I like to steam it a little.
Yeah, it actually liberates the sulforaphanes to your digestive tract and makes it more useful.
I've actually seen like supplements for like colon health.
Uh-huh.
That is like, it's like the healthy chemical from broccoli.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in that group that you just mentioned.
Yes, but you can eat Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, red cabbage, so you get some extra quercetin, anything that's that purple red color, like the red skin of apples, that tells you that there is quercetin, red
quercetin.
Onions, right?
Yes. That's good for allergies too.
Well, quercetin turns off histamine, but it also has very potent anti-tumor activity.
So, okay, I come up to I'm listening to this right now and I'm driving up to Santa Monica to go see Dr. Nalini. And so what's our first visit like? You do a whole intake, you find out what I'm eating, what supplements I'm on, and you break it down. I like how you said, you can't do everything all at once.
No. So on the first visit, I spend an hour to an hour and a half. Because I want to know
who
you are. I want to know who you are.
Yes.
And before you come in, you have to fill out a really long history form. And if you're not willing to do that, I'm not willing to be your doc.
Yeah.
You have to show up, right? And a lot of people bring a bag of all their supplements, and I'll look at those. And I will say, I think it's important to understand that the quality of the supplements and herbs you take is huge because there's a big, wide variety. So really try to stick with brands that are primarily sold to professionals because they are much higher quality, much more controls in the manufacturing process. And you pay for something really good, then you have a serious illness. That's what you want to be using. So I talk a little bit about that. But we always start with food, which we've talked about a bit here, but also sleep. Sleep is huge. And, you know, if you have cancer, you might be anxious. You might be in pain. And so your sleep might be disrupted. You might have been thrown into menopause and be unable to sleep. So always ask about sleep because you actually need 7 to 9 hours of sleep to have normal immunity, good regulation of your mood. And this is a time in your life you have to make big decisions. You want to be lucid and alert, and it's overwhelming. You want to be able to cope and be resilient. So sleep is huge.
Can we dig into sleep a little?
Sure.
Because, you know, with the blue lights,
Oh, yes.
Now with iOS, yes. Now iOS 9 now came out with this, it's sort of like this, it changes to an amber color, uh-huh. so it's not as blue at
uh-huh.
night.
Uh-huh.
I forget what they call it, but, sleep is so underrated.
I'm
a huge proponent of helping people to learn how to sleep without sleeping pills.
Yes.
Because,
yes.
You know, they say you only prescribe them for a week, but then it never is only
never
a week.
Yeah.
It's never only, I know people who just, they need it every single night, period.
Acupuncture.
Ooh.
Acupuncture.
Do tell.
Acupuncture is great for regulating the sleep cycle, normalizing it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you wake up too early,
mm-hmm.
or you can't get to sleep. Great for that. But it's also great for anxiety and pain, which are often the reasons cancer patients aren't sleeping. It's great for regulating hot flashes. So mm-hmm. if you were thrown into menopause because your chemotherapy or your ovaries were removed,
mm-hmm.
then it smooths that transition out. So acupuncture also increases your white blood cells, your natural killer cells, which go after tumor cells and go after viral cells. So there's a lot of things that we can do that aren't a drug and aren't a pill.
Yes.
And you have to remember, you can't just substitute an herb for a drug. You actually have to change how you live, because that's where health comes from. So cancer patients
that.
Have
can't an... go, okay, wait, I'm on Ambien. Can I just do like Valerian instead?
Right. You have to...
That's not going to cut it.
What nature does, partner with nature. So the oncologist is typically the disease expert. But if you want health, you have to have a health expert also. And you'll never get to health if you don't have a plan for health. And so we've talked about sleep. We've talked about diet. We've talked about eating the rainbow. How about exercise?
Huge.
Right? There's a lot of studies that show that only 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, actually changes the outcome, the length of the life of breast cancer patients, whether or not you get a recurrence. Just a 30-minute moderate walk 5 days a week could change your future.
So I don't have to become a CrossFitter. I can just walk.
I can just
5 days a week go on a breast walk.
Or do yoga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about meditation?
Well, I am a meditator since, I guess, 45 years. I've been a meditator.
TM?
No, I have practiced mindfulness and Tibetan Buddhist style of meditation, but all traditions of meditation, I actually mm-hmm. teach meditation also, but all traditions of meditation start in the same place, right? So we have to get too ideologic about it or religious about it because this is a self-regulation technology. This is a way to have the freedom to decide what state you're in. Mm. So if you're anxious, you could calm down.
Yeah.
You know, if you're depressed, you could center yourself.
Yeah.
If you're distracted, you could focus.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a learned skill.
Yeah.
And I think we should teach it in kindergarten because we all need this skill. And now we're in an environment in the modern world where there's too much stimulation. So you need to be able to get quiet and mm-hmm. tune it out.
Yeah.
And that puts you over on the parasympathetic side of your nervous system. And we all live over here in the run, 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 do, do, do. And you need to be over here to have normal immunity, to heal, to rest, to restore. And so that's another piece, right?
It's good for sleep, too.
Relaxation,
isn't it?
Right? Well, modulating your nervous system is good for sleep, right?
Yeah.
So I teach people what we call sleep hygiene in medicine, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to have the behaviors. So you think of a baby or a little kid. Okay, put on your jammies, brush your teeth, read a story, go to sleep. You know,
these
are all cues that sleep is coming. Get ready. So we need a personal ritual for
Not
sleep.
Not surf, blue light, stimulation, horror movie.
Right. Beeping lights going off in your bedroom, right?
You know, the Law and Order. You have to transition.
And get in your body, you know, because if you're just on a screen all the time, you know, health is an embodied experience.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be attuned to your body and to live in a healthy way.
Yeah. Is there an app for that?
There probably is.
Because, you know, I talk about technology, but where technology meets humanity.
Well, I have an app on my phone and on my desktop that is a little yoga app, mm-hmm. and it says, get up, breathe, stretch, relax, you know.
So
and
it reminds you.
It reminds me. It's a little gong, and it reminds me not to sit there all the time because I get absorbed in what I'm doing. And so sitting is the enemy, right?
Yeah, they say sitting is the new smoking.
Right, right.
Well, I think we should get up and go for a walk. I want to thank you. We're gonna go for a nice walk around the block after this. I want to thank you for being here. And again, all of the audience has a free e-recipe book, 13 amazing recipes for fighting cancer in the kitchen at integrativecanceranswers.com/amazingsalads. I want to thank you for being here. You have the most beautiful space talking about health and wellness. You exude joy. I would love to be your patient because you're a natural healer. And, I have to just say, just love. You're wearing this color and it's just your pure love. So thank you everyone for joining us this week. And I want a special shout out to integrativecanceranswers.com, Dr. Nalini Chilkov. And thanks to our wonderful sponsor, wealthed.com. Come back next week on The Dr. Stephen Show. Bye.
There's a doctor named Stephen Eisenberg down San Diego way. He's got a didgeridoo and man, you gotta hear him play. When his patients come in for chemo, he knows they'll be upset. He picks up that didgeridoo and plays music they can't forget. Dr. Stephen Eisenberg. Dr. Stephen Eisenberg. Doctor knows that music can soothe the soul. Let me tell you, Dr. Stephen's got it all under control. The people he sees are sick, but he sees their humanity. Let me tell you, Dr. Stephen has earned his medical degree. Dr. Stephen Eisenberg.